It's good to have our eyes open to see the mistakes other people have made, not to find fault with them, but to learn lessons for ourselves. A foolish man does not learn even from his own mistakes. An ordinary man learns at least from his own mistakes. But a wise man learns watching the mistakes of others, not judging them, but learning from himself. Can you think of some lesson you have learned by watching somebody else's mistake without judging it? That's very important. Initial tendency is to judge it. But to say, Lord, there's something I can learn from here. I have read the Old Testament like that. We have proclaimed in CFC through the years that we are not under the Old Covenant. That is the covenant God made with Moses on Sinai, with all those terms and conditions, Ten Commandments. We are not under that. We are under a higher law of the Sermon on the Mount. But the Old Testament, the 39 books, that is for us, that is part of the Bible. That is not abolished. And the main thing I can learn from those 39 books and from the historical sections of the New Testament is lessons for myself. And I believe this is one of the mistakes the Pharisees made, that they never sought to learn anything for themselves. They had very sharp eyes to judge other people. They even, it's not only the woman caught in adultery, they were watching even Jesus with very sharp eyes. They would send people to Jesus to trap him in his words. Can you imagine doing things like that? And they were supposed to be the most righteous people of their time. So the most righteous people of their time were the ones whom Jesus condemned the most. I don't find him condemning the Herodians or the Sadducees so much, or the Greeks or the Romans, but the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the people who obeyed the scriptures and who are the closest in doctrine to the Old Testament Bible. It's a verse I've shown you before. I'd like you all to see it again. To those who haven't seen it before, let me point it out to you. Matthew 23. Matthew 23 is a chapter full of the denunciation of the Pharisees by Jesus. But if you look carefully, in the midst of this chapter, there are two good things from the Pharisees that Jesus said about the Pharisees. There are lots of things that we have to beware of and avoid. And there are two good things. And one of those good things is this. In verse 3, he's talking about the Pharisees in verse 2. Verse 3, he told the disciples, everything that the Pharisees tell you to do, do. What does that prove? That proves that all their doctrines were right. Like, Jesus cannot look at all the religious groups today and say, whatever they tell you to do, do. Impossible. He cannot even look at all the Christian denominations and tell you whatever they tell you to do. Some of you have come out of Christian denominations. Why did you leave them? Because they were teaching some things that were not correct. Not that they were bad people. There were some things in that teaching that was not correct. So think of that denomination you came out from for that reason. Jesus will not say, whatever they tell you to do, do. You don't believe in infant baptism. They are not following their methods and many other things which they practice in their Christianity. But when Jesus says about any group, whatever they tell you to do, he's almost giving a certificate saying all their doctrines, their doctrinal statement is 100% right. Which group is that today? Do you feel you belong to a group which has got its doctrines all correct? But I don't want to be act humble. But I really believe that what we believe is exactly according to the scripture in everything. So that Jesus may say, listening to our messages and all the sermons preached here, Jesus will say to people who come here, whatever they tell you to do, do. Because what they are teaching is absolutely right. But does he have to say, please don't watch their private lives? The way they do certain things is not right. Their attitudes towards certain people is not right. But their doctrine, you can sign it. Jesus says, I can sign it myself. It's absolutely true. Now, if that is true, we are pretty close to the Pharisees. We might as well face up to it. And if so, we are to judge ourselves and cleanse us. For many years, I have felt that one mark of the house of God, or the family of God, is what is described in 1 Peter and chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 is what I believe is one of the marks of the family of God, the household of God. It's a unique verse. 1 Peter and chapter 4. And verse 17, middle of that, it speaks of the household of God or the family of God. And it says here, it is time for judgment to begin not with the unbeliever. Judgment must begin within the family of God. Are you part of the family of God? Judgment must begin with you. And this judgment must begin with us first. So I've taken that very seriously now for many, many years in my life. I can stand before God and say this. God is my witness that every single day of my life for many years now, I have judged myself in something or the other. I preach a sermon. I go away and judge myself. What was there that I could have done better, or I should not have said, or I should have said, or did I bore people? Did I take too long? I'm judging myself all the time, even in a thing like that. Even though preaching a sermon may be a good thing, and 101 people may have come and told me they were blessed by it. Okay, but I still judge myself. I sometimes listen to my own sermons on YouTube and say, Lord, show me, is there something I need to cleanse myself? I do not. That is simply saying, I am not perfect. When I judge myself, I'm testifying to the Lord. Lord, I'm not perfect. And so I'm not perfect in my preaching, I'm not perfect in my living. I keep judging myself in my relationship with my wife, even though I never lose my temper at her anytime. But I judge myself. I say, Lord, that's not enough. I don't want my testimony to be negative. The Bible doesn't say, husband, don't lose your temper at your wife. That's a negative thing. The Bible says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. It's a positive thing. So the mere fact I don't lose my temper at my wife, that's okay, it's good, but that's not the great thing. The great thing is to learn to love your wife as Christ loved the church. And I haven't got there yet. I'm working my way towards it. My point is, as long as you, I think all of us would say, we have not become like Christ. We all say that. But what are you doing about it? I mean, it's like saying a child wants to complete, let's say, at least 12th grade. And so if I haven't attained 12th grade, but he doesn't want to sit in the second grade all his life. No. Every year it's going forward. It's examination in the class is a promotion to the next. That's how our life must be. And you'll never be promoted in the Christian life to a higher level if you are not judging yourself, which is the mark of the family of God. And this is a very precious verse to me. Ever since I understood this great truth, that anyone who acknowledges that he has not become like Christ will be judging himself every day. And if he does that, what will happen is, he will make progress not once in a year. Children get promoted to the next class once in a year, but a true Christian can be promoted every day.